Well, are you trying to decide what to plant in your yard this spring? Well, we did some digging and discovered a class being offered at Harris Nature Center tonight called Native Plants Make Gardening Easier. It's taught by Vern Stevens, the owner of Designs by Nature. And current state producer Katie Cook went out to Langsburg and spoke to Vern to learn more. Katie, tell us about what you saw.
I saw greenhouses full of seedlings, just trays and trays of little plugs of dirt. He collects these seeds from their natural habitats all over the state, and he documents them. He cultivates them in his greenhouses, and then he helps reintroduce them back into nature.
Did you learn anything interesting?
Yes. So Vern taught me that two seedlings of the same species grow on totally different cycles depending on where they're from. So he had two of the same species growing side by side in his greenhouse, but one seed had been taken from the UP and one seed was from Lansing. The one from the UP shot up like 3 inches while the other one, and the one from Lansing, was still barely sprouting because the one from the UP thought that it had to like hurry up and bloom because it was too cold.
Interesting. So you can take the seed out of the UP, basically.
Exactly. So Vern started by telling me about his 8-year-old son's passion for native plants and the very cool gardening project he helped with at his son's school.
So we put a butterfly garden in at the school. And third graders planted it, and it's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. They planted all of these kind of plugs, and they were all in pairs of two, in teams of two, and they would then plant the plug, and then they put the tag in, and then they would become the expert on the plant that they put in the ground. They would have to go to the internet, they'd have to research what the plant was, why it was the color it was, and then talk all about when it blooms, how long it blooms, and everything to the rest of the class. So, and that's an ongoing thing. And so then the kids are responsible for this butterfly garden. They're out there looking at so many monarch caterpillars that they've never, ever seen before. The girls are holding bumblebees in their hand and touching them because they found out that they can hold bumblebees as long as they're not aggressive with the bees won't sting them. And the girls are holding them in their hand and petting them. And I'm going, this is crazy.
Wow. It would be great if that could happen more in more schools.
Well, I know. We're creating all these little Aldo Leopolds. You know? And so that's the goal.
So the name of the class that you're teaching is Native Plants Make Gardening Easier.
Right.
How do they make things easier?
These are Michigan native perennials. So they belong in Michigan. They can deal with what Michigan throws at it. Whether we have our droughts during the summer or we have extremely cold temperatures or thaws during the winter and then it refreezes. They know and understand how to deal with all of that. They don't require fertilizer. They don't require special conditions. They don't require watering. So in the end, all of the maintenance that you have to do is minimal if you do the site prep and the installation properly. And so you're picking a plant that's supposed to be here. So it's going to do what it needs to do.
You talked about some other benefits in terms of wildlife. So what happens when you plant native plants? What kind of things do they attract?
They're going to attract the insects that feed on those plants. When I say insects, I'm talking caterpillars and some of the other insects that are important in the food chain. And so I didn't understand this until I started asking the question, how does a monarch find milkweed in an open field? Well, every plant puts out a pheromone. Those insects identify that pheromone, will then seek that plant out, find it, and then feed on it. And they recognize that. If they don't recognize that plant's pheromone, they won't feed on that plant.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I feel like everyone just, the common knowledge is, you know, flowers attract butterflies. But it's not every flower attracting every butterfly.
And it's not just a nectar source. Every plant has a nectar source, and the butterflies will use that. But for instance, the monarch, it seeks out milkweed in order to lay its eggs. And that's what the food source, the host species, is for that caterpillar. Without it, it's not going to make it. So the question I always ask, how many of you have milkweed growing in your backyards? And very few people do. I mean, it's starting to happen now, or more and more are planting milkweed. But if you don't, then they're not going to have the host for their caterpillars in order to move the population on.
So is it damaging to introduce plants that aren't native into your garden?
It can be. We're starting to find out recently that A lot of plants that are brought in to many of the nurseries that are grown in large greenhouses have the neonicotinoid pesticides on them. And that stuff doesn't go away. It's on shrubs, it's on trees, it's on the plants that you introduce. And so you're introducing that into your garden. A lot of customers now are asking, what pesticides do you use on your plants? And we don't. We don't use pesticides on these because we realize that this is going to end up either in someone's stomach in the end, an insect's going to chew on the leaf if it's favorable to them. And so we have to be careful of that, very careful of it.
I'm speaking with Vern Stevens, owner of Designs by Nature in Langsburg. He's the former grasslands and invasive species specialist for the state of Michigan. He'll be teaching a class at the Harris Nature Center on Tuesday night called Native Plants Make Gardening Easier. So Vern, what kind of things will you go over in this class?
We always cover site selection because around a house, you have different conditions. You have a north side, which is good for shade, loving plants, early morning sun, late afternoon sun. It's good for water features. East side of the house is good for early morning sunlight, and it doesn't get as hot. So you can put some more woodlands there, but you can start introducing flowers. South side, good for butterfly gardens and good for other gardens because it's full sun. And then west side, the same thing, only it's a little more intense sunlight. So we talk about site selection. We look at soils. We talk about soil types and then how to identify whether it has nutrients in it or not. And then we look at pH of the soil. Then we talk about plant selection, what would be best for something like that. And then we'll go into possibly rain gardening, how to incorporate a rain garden into that landscape, and then go on from there, specializing in butterfly gardening or specializing in hummingbird gardens or whatever else that they are interested in.
What is a rain garden? Is that a way to use rainwater to water your garden?
Right. So actually, we'll design a garden so that the water that comes off the roof of your house or off your driveway can be diverted into this rain garden, hold that water there, and we plant plants then in that site that are specific for the conditions that you have. So if it's clay soils and it's going to have moisture for a long presence of time, then we put plants in there that like a lot of moisture. If it's dry within a couple hours, then we can plant almost anything there. But then we design or talk about how to install a rain garden. And then they also become butterfly gardens too, or hummingbird gardens. So we kind of incorporate all of those little techniques into it. But we talk about how to figure out how much water comes off of your roof and how big to make the rain garden so that it doesn't blow out after the first rain.
Do you advise people too on landscaping? Because I know somebody like me usually approaches gardening with what I want it to look like, what colors I want to have, things like that. Do you talk about those kinds of things?
We can do that. In fact, we often give a catalog out that comes from Prairie Moon Nursery, which has a cultural guide in it. And most of the plants in there are plants that we have here in Michigan. But the importance of the cultural guide is it tells you what kind of soils it likes, what kind of moisture levels it'll take, and it talks about a range. Then sunlight conditions, the height that it grows to, the color it is, and then how long does it bloom. And so we can incorporate that cultural guide into an educational document that they can use as a source guide, as a reference. So in their idle time, they can sit down and they can actually design a garden just by looking at the information that's presented there.
So we're standing in a greenhouse surrounded by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of seedlings. Tell me about some of these species and what you're doing with them.
This one here just happens to be roundleaf ragwort. It comes from this one came from the Empire area. So it's a dry loving species. We have others that come from the Mayo area. And so they're also very dry loving species, but it played with them to find out that they don't have to just grow on very dry soils. They can be moved inland just a little bit and become good plants for nectar sources. They're one of the first flowers to bloom when the monarchs return. So it's a good nectar source for them when they finally get back to Michigan. Takes a lot of abuse. We've chipped it out with a pickaxe out of dry compacted clay. and it still does fine.
Wow. What do the blooms look like when it blooms?
It's a small yellow flower, about the size of a dime. It's a cluster of yellow flowers that are on a stalk that comes up about 12 inches tall. And what's nice about this is after it flowers and it goes to seed, if you remove the seed stalk, then the leaves start spreading and filling in gaps in the garden. It's pretty cool. And it's got a nice decorative leaf on it, so it's a good ground cover species. When we look at other ones, when we plant a garden out, we want early spring to late fall blooms. That benefits the butterflies, it benefits the customer because they want to see color throughout the year. So we like to pick plants that offer good blooms for those seasons, but then we also want to introduce plants that have long bloom times. There's a few that we really do incorporate into the planting that generally will go in more conditions than not. Showy coneflowers is one that blooms from June until October. Harebell grows from flowers from June until October. Wild petunia blooms from June until October. So now here we've got some plants that have extended bloom times. Even prairie phlox, it's a little more sensitive. It likes drier soils. So it too will bloom from June until October. But what we're interested in doing is now establishing those as a base and then introducing some of the other special ones that give us bloom for 3 weeks, 4 weeks over here on this side of the garden, 3 to 4 weeks over on this side of the garden, and now we get spring through fall. We throw grasses in there as a complement because some of the critters need grasses, and it gives you structure above ground. It gives you the texture that you need in your garden to break up the monotony of just the plants, the flowers.
Well, thank you so much, Vern. I wish you the best of luck this year getting all this work done.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Vern Stevens of Designs by Nature. He's teaching a class tonight at the Harris Nature Center in Meridian Township at 7 p.m. For Current State, I'm Katie Cook.